Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a lot of it made over the weekend. We start in China. And let me tell you something. You look at China, you think, okay, it's a monolith. For 5,000 years, they worshipped an emperor. Chinese culture goes back to 3000 BC, long line of emperors. They viewed them as gods, couldn't even look at them. If you looked up and saw him as he was carried in a cart down the street, they'd execute you. Then the revolution came. First of all, the emperor fell apart after the First World War. Second World War, you had Mao Zedong fighting Chiang Kai-shek. There are now two Chinas. Taiwan used to be called Formosa, it used to be a colony of Japan. Formosa, Taiwan. Its name is the Republic of China. Speak Mandarin Chinese. They are Chinese, Han Chinese. The mainland, 100 miles away, about the distance from Milwaukee to Oshkosh, is called the People's Republic of China. It's the one that Mao Zedong took over, Chiang Kai-shek took over what is called Taiwan. Now you look at Xi, the premier, Xi Jinping, and he looks impregnable. Looks like he can't be beaten within China. He's the emperor. But unlike the emperor, sometimes the emperor has no clothes. There's a number two guy over there, the premier, just under Xi Jinping, and the premier is called Li Keqiang, K-E-Q-I-A-N-G. And he's a shifty, murderous bastard himself, is what he is. And he is lying in the weeds waiting to become number one. That's the way it works over there. That's the way it works over there. Now, normally, we look on this as a monolith, Communist Party. There's a council of about 300 people. Well, ostensibly run the country, but Xi is the guy that gives the orders. But he has a heavy burden on him, and the heavy burden on him is that if he screws up and people start to get restive, then the rabble in the Communist Committee start to get uneasy, and then guys like Li Keqiang try to take out Xi Jinping. And why is this important? Because they are a nuclear power. They are the second largest economy in the world, and they are trying to extend their tentacles, their octopus-like tentacles, all through the South China Sea, menacing Taiwan, trying to worm into, menacing Australia for that matter. Anyway, here's what's happened. Xi Jinping has made two mistakes that may prove fatal to him. One of them is the COVID lockdown. Now, you know, China has almost 1.5 billion people, about 20% of the people in the world, roughly, believe it or not. About 20% of the people in the world speak Mandarin Chinese, 1 in 5. And obviously he doesn't want it to spread, but because he's an authoritarian, he's taken to an extreme degree. He'll lock down a whole, he can lock down a city of 4 million people. That's the population of Phoenix. Some they can't go out of their apartments. Say he's gonna deliver food to them, and he does a lousy job because communist governments are corrupt and they depend on people who've been bribed. Maybe some guy hasn't gotten any food for a couple of days and he goes out, I need food, and they beat the hell out of him and drag him off. This is the way they operate over there. Well, the way it's going has caused deep dissatisfaction, but what's caused even deeper dissatisfaction is that economically, up to the time that Nixon and the Chinese got together. You may remember that in the very early 70s, Nixon and China. But they are very infrequent voters. Some of them are single moms with kids. It's hard to get them to vote anyway. Some of them have to hold down two jobs to make ends meet. They're not going to go through the hassle. That's what he's thinking of doing. Not thinking of doing. That's what he said he'd do. And then he's also said that he and the Secretary of State, regardless of the popular vote, will pick the electors in 2024. And regardless of the popular vote, reserve the right to overturn elections even in Pennsylvania. Now, you would think that folks in Pennsylvania, patriots, good people. I served with guys in the Navy from Pennsylvania, excellent shipmates. You'd think that they would say, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. This is Pennsylvania. You're not going to do that. Well, the guy got over 50% of the vote. And the Democrats are rejoicing, except one. And that's me. I'm not rejoicing. I'll tell you why. In 1966, Ronald Reagan ran for governor of California, and everybody thought he was a right-wing nut back then. Democrats put money into ads in the Republican primary to nominate Ronald Reagan because they wanted to run against him. And then he won, and you know what happened. And then in 1976, he ran against Gerald Ford in a primary to be the Republican nominee, and the Democrats were praying for it. He didn't make it. Ford was the nominee. But in 1980, he ran again, and there were other people running, and Democrats prayed for him to win the primary. They prayed for him to win the primary. And they exulted. They broke out the champagne. Well, Jimmy Carter can easily beat Ronald Reagan in 1980. Jimmy Carter got swamped. And even as late as 2016, when Donald Trump was nominated, people broke out the champagne. Hillary Clinton can easily beat him. And she did by 3 million votes nationwide. But she lost Michigan by 10,000 votes, Wisconsin by 27,000 votes, and she lost Pennsylvania. So when you exult over Doug Mastriano being the nominee because Josh Shapiro can easily beat him. Yeah, he should. But beware of what you wish for. Beware of what you pray for. This guy, if he gets in there, will deregister everybody and interfere with elections. Now, will the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overrule him? Maybe. And I think they have a slight Democratic majority right now. But they may not. And what if during his tenure, somebody runs for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court who's like him and beats one of these Democrats? Then it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is 6-3 right wing, 6-3 pro-Republican. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. Let's look at the Senate primary. The Senate primary on the Democratic side pitted John Fetterman against Connor Lamb. Both excellent guys, but John Fetterman is an unusual guy. First of all, he's 6'8", has tattoos, wears hoodies, and he talks progressive on some issues, but not all issues. And he somehow got the Working Families Party and the progressives to endorse him. So he has the best of both worlds. He's this hulking figure in a hoodie, and the progressives are for him. So he easily beat Connor Lamb. He had 57% of the vote. Connor Lamb is a veteran, combat veteran. He won a Republican seat in Western Pennsylvania for Congress that Trump took, but he took it. But then statewide, everybody fell in love with John Fetterman. And John Fetterman is a good guy. Unfortunately, he had a minor stroke over the weekend. He had a pacemaker put in. He's sound as a fiddle. Guy who's 6'8", that big, though, has to be a little careful. That's, you know, you take a look at a Great Dane, you know what I mean? That has to have a big heart, too, much bigger than a Chihuahua's heart, let's put it that way. And so that's why, believe it or not, They announced the world record for a dog living, a Chihuahua, is 21. 21-year-old Chihuahua. You are not going to see a 21-year-old Great Dane. You're just simply not going to see it. I'm not comparing Fetterman to a Great Dane, but what I am saying, I think a lot of this guy. He's an excellent guy. Be careful, John, for God's sake. You have one heart. It's a big heart. But on the Republican side, Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and David McCormick are separated by 0.2%. The last time when we went on the air, Oz had 31.3%, and McCormick had 31.1%. Pennsylvania law says that if there is a difference of less than 0.5%, there's an automatic recount. Kathy Barnett, who got a lot of press at the end, is at 24.8%. So stand by. Sam's going to let me know if there's a significant update during the show, but I have a feeling that there won't be, not during this show, but we'll find out today. Madison Cawthorn lost his primary down in North Carolina. He's the guy who called Zelensky a thug, said he'd been invited to orgies by the Republican leadership, and they got ticked off at him. In Idaho, a right-wing nut, lieutenant governor endorsed by Trump, lost to the incumbent governor in that primary. So it was a mixed bag for Trump. Stand by. We're going to a break. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
In downtown Waukesha, we are all things home.